Happy Thursday, guys. You know what it means. It's Pop Culture Mondays on Thursdays. And it's me, Brooke Hammerling. Pop Culture Mondays on Thursdays. Happy Thursday, or whenever you're listening to this on your mom walk or power walk or run or beach time or while you're getting ready in the bathroom and putting makeup on, or you're listening to it in your car. Hi to all of you. I listen to most of my podcasts, I have to say, when I'm walking or when I'm cooking, which I love to do. I love cooking, and I find myself cooking more because I listen to so many great podcasts, and that's when I listen to them. One podcast I am not listening to this week because I will be super triggered is Pivot with Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway. It has been reported to me that Kara Swisher, aka my darling friend, my sister from another mister, spends this week's Pivot, or at least today, this is Tuesday in the Time Machine's Pivot, talking all about her Bill Maher moment and her one-on-one interview, and Justin Theroux, the amazing, talented, beautiful actor, writer, all around amazing star, I guess, being with her the whole day. And I'm glad she tells that story, but she fails to mention, from my understanding, from the thousands of people that have reached out to me in that whole scenario, which is funny because I am the one that introduced them and suggested that Justin come. I took them out to lunch and then facilitated the day, for which point I carried bags, I organized, I made everybody feel good. I did spill a coffee, I'll take that, but whatever. She failed to mention, I do not register on the radar of importance for her to mention. So while she's trying to delete me from reality of what the whole day was, I am here to call bullshit on that. I did say something to her, my passive aggressive way. I was like, really? And she goes, today's not the day, Brooke. Today's not the day. It's never the day to call Kara out on something. FYI, for those of you who ever feel like poking the bear, it's a good way to do it is to tell her something you don't agree with and just watch out. I still love her. I guess that's what family is, right? But my God, the fact that I was completely erased. I feel like, you know, I feel like the Bob Marley movie where the woman who was the real love of his life and mother of Damien was just completely eradicated from the film, even though she was like the main part of the whole story of Exodus. She just didn't exist in the movie. So I was written out of this movie and I didn't like it. I don't like it. And I just want for all of you listeners to know the real story, the real news behind it. There you go. Breaking here. We are in the Time Machine. This comes out on Thursday. By Thursday, I hope I'm back safely on U.S. soil. But for reasons I cannot explain to you right now, I am finishing this podcast and racing to the airport, flying to El Paso, Texas, for which point I will then be crossing over the border into Juarez, Mexico, which I think we're all familiar with Juarez and in some various degree or another. It's a border city. It's got some cartel stuff going on. But if you Google Juarez, you come to find that it's also known for a pretty big world record, and that is the murder capital of the world. So that is where I am heading tomorrow. I do have a few friends who are geared up to go Liam Neeson if need be, which I didn't even need more context than that. When my friend Brian's like, I would like to follow your coordinates, and if I need to go Liam Neeson, I will. We all know what that means, and I'm here for it. Like, I don't know how many takens there have been, but I'm probably, if in all likelihood, would be a taken number 18, and Brian is Liam Neeson, and he's going to come down to Juarez, and I'll be fine. I'll be home in time for dinner on Friday, I'm sure. But let's just say that we don't know as of right now. I'm recording this in the Time Machine, and you may be listening to this while I'm an international incident, which with who I'm going with in terms of my friends for a business reason, to be honest, but we are dramatic girls. So drama follows. Fingers crossed we can get through this drama free for the moment. But we have a lot of news. I mean, we can talk about what's in the newsletter, which was obviously mainly focused on the Kate Middleton news that broke last week. But this week we've seen a bridge entirely collapse in Baltimore. Tragically, a huge shipping container ship. Is that a word? Shipping container? That's not right. But you know, a big boat that ships things. It had like a complete and utter power failure, loss of steering, loss of power, and it hit the bridge, a 1.6 mile long bridge, a really big, important commuter bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, and the bridge came down immediately. Like it was like out of an action movie, like out of an apocalypse movie. It's wild to see. I did make the rare misstep on social media because I am 3 hours behind when the news is. I had seen the news. It was like 6 a.m. my time, and I hadn't turned on the news yet. So I was reading that stupid freaking Twitter, which timeline is all messed up. And so some of the tweets I saw were like, the boat didn't see it. Maybe the people were asleep. The boat missed the bridge. And so I tweeted, or actually I put it on Threads, how does a boat miss a 1.6 mile long bridge? At which point I got roasted. And that's fair. It's fair. I did delete my thread. I didn't have all the information, rookie move, but I read the information in the timeline for which it was fed to me, which is the danger of this stupid social media platform's timeline, or any of these timelines that are not in real time. I had old news. So it had already been determined that this was not a user error, that there was a catastrophic power failure on this boat and led them to not be able to control it. And it took out an entire bridge. So it is wild to see. It is tragic. It looks like there have been at least 6 lives lost. And these were people working on the bridge. They're not to diminish their lives being lost at all, but in terms of, you know, it could have happened during the day. It could have happened when there were a ton of cars on the boat, on the bridge. You know, I mean, not to say that these 6 lives aren't, it's horrible, but you know, you look at these things and say, my God, what could have been? But regardless, they are without a bridge. It's a pretty significant, I think, moment for them. It's going to be a huge, like months, years sort of new reality for a lot of commuters. And this is so inappropriate. I know this is inappropriate. This isn't the right moment in time to say this, but I am going to say it. I then turned on the TV and I then was confronted with the governor of Maryland. And have you guys seen him? I mean, have you? I'm sorry. I know this is not appropriate in the context, but this is a pop culture podcast and I am not appropriate. But yeah, Wes Moore, Google him. He's 45 years old. I don't know how I missed this entire scenario. He's married, all of that. That's great. But he was a man that you definitely want to look to in crisis. I'm not going to lie. I found myself very drawn to what he was telling me and making sure that he made us all feel safe and looked after. And he also conveyed the severity of the situation and the tragedy of the situation. But he didn't look like politicians that we typically see. I'm just going to be honest with you. In that is a good thing. Like I want to see more Wes Moores running the governments, local and federal. That's a terribly, terribly ridiculous thing to say, but it is what it is. It's just go Google him. We also have Diddy, guys. Like, holy moly. I think we all are in the same boat. If you don't know, Diddy, P. Diddy, Puffy, Puff Daddy, Sean Combs, who has been sort of in the sort of legal hairs for a while now. I think his ex-girlfriend many months ago, Cassie, came out with accusing him of and suing him. I think it was something along those lines of some pretty depraved behavior, including sex trafficking. And then all of a sudden, like a day later, she took that back. Clearly, there was some sort of settlement, but you know, the stink was already on him. And let's be clear, anybody that has any sort of connections into pop culture or the music world or whatnot, we've heard rumblings for years and years and years. I actually met Diddy, I mean, it must have been 15, 20 years ago in a meeting with a client of mine. And I think we were talking about how he stores bars of gold. Like that's his thing. He likes to, he has gold. I just remember that very, very, very vividly. But fast forward to Monday, his homes, I believe in Holmby Hills area of Los Angeles and Miami, were raided. Apparently he has other homes like in New York, unclear about that. But these were raided by Homeland Security, which is like no joke. Sex trafficking was the reason. So they raided these homes. Apparently Diddy was not expecting it. Unknown as to why his adult sons were then seen handcuffed outside of the LA property because they're not in jail. He was apparently apprehended at a private airport in Miami, but he was not arrested. There was video of him pacing and talking on the phone. There's some guy who was arrested, who's like a former Syracuse basketball player who is rumored to be his drug mule. Like, I don't quite know. He's like a 25-year-old white kid who posts a lot of pictures of him hanging out in the Diddy universe. There is a mugshot of him, but we don't really know any other details. There is reports that Diddy made his way to the Caribbean. We don't know, but we are all sort of breathless to see what's next. You have a lot of people jumping in. 50 Cent. He inserted himself. I guess there's been beef with 50 Cent and Diddy a lot. And I don't think there was like 5 minutes before 50 Cent jumped in and posted pictures of the raid of, oh, it looks like the New York home was also raided. So it looks like they all three of these homes were raided. My bad. But posted pictures of the Homeland Security people outside the homes and with, like, you know, their guns and their security things up, with the TMZ headline of Diddy's Los Angeles, Miami, and New York homes raided by federal law enforcement. And 50 Cent then says in his comment, "Now it's not Diddy do it, it's Diddy done," with an emoji with his hands up, like, you know, up and shrugs. And it says, "They don't come like that unless they got a case." So how about that? And it's going to get real. I guess the people who have been holding their tongues are now coming out. There's a lot of speculation of what's going to happen with Usher and Justin Bieber, two very prominent proteges of Diddy, who sort of were groomed, whether that is in the best of ways to be stars or the worst of ways, thinking dark thoughts by Diddy. Usher has apparently said something to the effect of he saw a lot of weird shit when he lived there. You know, I think they're probably all talking to their lawyers. There's going to be some strategies in place, defense, who's going to talk first, who's going to protect themselves. I imagine there's lots of video content we're going to start hearing about, or at least that's what some people are saying. So, I mean, it's a lot. Again, I'm not a celebrity gossip podcast, but it's been, it's definitely seeped into the pop culture world, and everybody's been talking about it and wondering, because, you know, if there's not a scandal in a week, what do we have to live for? What do we have in this world if we don't have something to sit around and gossip about and guess and have conspiracy theories around, a la Kate Middleton? And I don't really, there's nothing new that's really come up in the last few days. But last week, if you remember on the pod, I was like, I'm pretty sure. Now, I did say I had heard that it was a pretty serious colon issue where she had a colostomy bag. Who knows, that could still be the case. But obviously, she hadn't announced that she'd had cancer by the time the podcast came out last week, by the time I recorded it. But I did say that methinks a statement will come soon. And that statement turned out to be an actual video of her speaking to the camera as opposed to a written statement. Story is, sort of insiders say that it was Kate's decision. She wanted to connect directly with people and felt that with everything that's been happening, that the only way to sort of quiet the madness was by doing a proof of life video, basically, where she had to announce that it was a cancer diagnosis, that they went in and did the surgery, not thinking it was cancer, but knew that it was serious of some kind. So there was clearly the possibility there, and then found that it's cancer.
I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you personally for all the wonderful messages of support and for your understanding. It has been an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family. In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment. This, of course, came as a huge shock, and William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. It has taken us time to explain everything to George, Charlotte, and Louis in a way that's appropriate for them, and to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too. At this time, I'm also thinking of all those whose lives have been affected by cancer. For everyone facing this disease, in whatever form, please do not lose faith or hope. You are not alone.
I am somebody who's pretty well-versed in the cancer world, but both myself being someone who's had it and survived it and who's lost a mother to it and has lost various amounts of friends to different cancers. And I'm very proactive with my health and work with a prominent cancer doctor in terms of preventing cancer. So preventative care is obviously the best, getting ahead of it really early, getting tested and scanned all the time, which I do. I get blood work every 3 months. I get scanned every year, like my entire body, from MRIs to CAT scans to ultrasounds to everything in between. So you can say I'm pretty proactive. So the type of surgery that she likely had would be, or the type of cancer is likely colon, maybe ovarian, you know, whether she's, it's just all bad and it's terrible. And it's just bad regardless of what the prognosis is, which hopefully is positive. It's tough. I mean, she's had a massive surgery. That means there's lots of things that she had removed. She has three little kids. It's going to be terrifying for them to have to face that. It's got to be terrifying for her husband, who himself can be thrown back to what it's like to lose a parent young. So it's just, it's terrible. And of course, it's terrible that they had to publicly talk about it. And granted, it's a royal family. I understand they live in a life of service, but it feels like she was bullied into this. The cacophony, I always like when I can say the term cacophony, of sort of noise, of gossip and so forth, just in conspiracy theories, just were out of control. And she tried her best to fix that. Now, of course, even people I know, there's conspiracy theories still alive and thriving that it wasn't really her, that it was AI generated video. There's lots of TikToks trying to prove that there's a glitch, that her ring was on and then it wasn't. There are lots of other videos trying to point to the fact that she wore a very similar sweater years ago in a video about mental health and exercise with her husband and brother-in-law, and that they, that somehow proved that this was a video taken in a different time. First of all, I'm wearing a sweater right now that I've had for 6 years. So I applaud anybody who holds on to things and keeps them out of landfill, but it's most definitely not the same sweater because the arms, the cuffs were quite different and really easy to spot. But okay, all the conspiracy theorists, like, people cannot be satisfied. Like, my God, can she just be a young woman who's dealing with a fucking terrible thing? And you guys are all obsessed with, you know, knowing every detail, or not you guys, not my audience, but the public people. There are conspiracy theorists out there, people that I do know, some who probably do listen to this podcast. But, you know, we found celebrities like Blake Lively having to apologize for making light of Kate in the sort of photo editing debacle. And Kim Kardashian has made light of the Kate missing debacle. They did these, both of them posted Instagrams. Blake actually posted an apology shortly after Kate announced her diagnosis. But it was that thing that, like, everybody sort of found out at the exact same time. Yes, there's some people that found out sooner. I've heard from you where you're like, I knew 45 minutes before the rest of us. Okay. But we all relatively found out around the same time, whether you found out through a friend, whether your phone got 18,000 push notifications like mine did from the Wall Street Journal, from New York Times, from CNN, from every single blog. It just was like pushed on my phone. It was really sad. People stopped. People lost their breath for a minute. And it's interesting because, like, why didn't we all think like this from the very get-go? And that's really a breakdown in communications. And that's why, as much as I like to make fun of the fact that we are horrible people, many of us are, but I also like to point out, as somebody who comes from a PR and communications background, this was a breakdown in communications. I don't quite understand it, because there have been some extraordinarily smart PR people connected to the palace that I've known over the years. I can't imagine any of them would have let it get this far. I do have to wonder, not a conspiracy theory, but like, what was the reason? Why did they let, it's like letting a boat fill up with water beyond, you know, when you have a plug, you could plug up that hole, but you're holding the plug in your hand for some reason. Like, I want to know what that reason is. But, you know, you can map it back to the initial statements, which was that she was going to be in the hospital for 10 to 15 days. So they think they did everything right. Like, she's going in for some abdominal surgery. She's going to be recovering in the hospital. And then she's going to stay out of the public eye until at least Easter, right? Okay, check the boxes. We've given them the information. Where things get a little weird. And I suppose they had to say the amount of time, because they figured people would be tracking and like waiting. And if she's not out of the hospital, then what's happened? But they could have staggered the communications. But what they did was, by right off the bat, saying she was going to be in recovery for 10 to 14 days in the hospital. And that is what got everybody, every single person was like, what? Because if you yourself haven't had a surgery or been in the hospital, you most definitely know somebody who has. And we've all had, you know, varying degrees of people in the hospital for serious to non-serious issues. But, you know, whether you've had a hysterectomy, or whether you gave birth and had complications, or whether you had cancer surgery, or whether you had plastic surgery, there's still very few scenarios where you're in the hospital that long. I mean, I can speak from personal experience. I had open heart surgery that was hours and hours and hours long. I was hooked up to a heart and lung machine, and I laugh at that, because when I first published the newsletter, I guess I had written a heart and lunch machine, and somebody reached out to me and copy edited me. But then I was on a group chat with those people, and they started sending me like AI generated GIFs of people like on a treadmill with lunch in front of them, like a heart and lunch machine. Funny, but I was on a heart and lung machine. I had my heart and lung were not working. I was attached to a machine keeping me alive for hours. I had my chest cracked open like a walnut. I had a new aorta replaced in my body by a biological aorta. I had a aortic valve replaced by a cow's valve. And I still spent, I think, 7 full days, maybe 8 days, 7 nights in the hospital. And that was a day longer than they wanted me to, but it was COVID and they were being extra, extra careful. So 10 to 14 days, and I think she was there the entire 14 days, is pretty extraordinary. And so people immediately started to say, well, that doesn't sound right. Like, either, and if she's not dying, then what is it? And so she must not be dying. This must be a ruse. And it's a ruse somehow. Oh, well, let's go back to the rumors about William having an affair. And so he must have been told she's pregnant. And that's what everybody's saying. And she had a mental breakdown. And this is emotional, not medical. I mean, all of this stuff, you just heard it all. And nobody was stopping it, and nothing was being done to sort of suppress that. And then, you know, the unfortunate photo, which I still don't quite understand how the palace didn't have control over these photo agencies and not having them issue this sort of kill photo and making a big, huge scene around it, because we've never seen them do that publicly. We haven't. We don't really experience that. It would indicate it was something pretty catastrophic. Then you have Kate issue a statement that she was playing around with photo editing tools and oopsie, but that doesn't really add up. So now you start to say, if you weren't a conspiracy theorist, but wait a minute, because like every photo is photoshopped. Like every picture the Kardashians put out there is edited beyond control, and photo agencies use them all the time. So something else didn't make sense, and we still don't really know, but then it just, that was, they shouldn't have let her take the fall for that. I don't know if it was her idea or if it was the PR people's idea to say, like, let's make it like, oh, shucks. And then we kill two birds with one stone because we see that you're making statements. None of it worked. Notes on Instagram or on social media, writing out notes. We know, guys, this doesn't work. It's how like celebrities make apologies or whatnot. It doesn't work. It does not work. Let's not do that anymore. So I thought it was really impactful of her to be sitting there alone, talking about what she's experienced, talking about the support of her family, talking about what she's going to be doing now. But I think it was completely unnecessary and terrible. I mean, it was necessary, but it shouldn't have been necessary. And she was bullied into it. And I don't care. There was all these responses like, I'm not going to apologize for it. Well, okay, you be you, Stephen Colbert and all of you other night hosts or whatever. I mean, like, at least if you were going to make fun of it, do it intelligently. It just wasn't intelligent. Like, oh, she's absolutely dead, or I don't care. I mean, it's just gross. It's all gross. And this is just the focus is she's a young mom with three young kids and shouldn't have to be dealing with this, and it's terrible. And so we all need a little bit of empathy. So that's really it. I mean, there are other things that I talked about. You can certainly check out the newsletter. One of the trends, it's not a huge trend, but it's one that amused me. So I thought I would talk about it a little bit, is the rotting girl trend, which is apparently like rot girl. It's basically what I do a lot of my free time, which is sitting in bed. You have everything around you. You have like your drinks near you, you have your book, you have your phone, you have your iPad, you have your cat or dog, you have the remote control, everything. And you just basically live in your bed. You're just like in bed for hours. Like you could have like maybe a tray with some food. It's basically like my dream. Like I just need a little turban and some like silk bathrobes and I could live easily in my bed. I have a tray. Really do. I'm not going to lie. And I love being in my bed and like eating dinner there when I'm really exhausted and watching something on TV, and I'm a rotting girl. But, so there are videos of the creators have posted of them, sort of the different scenarios of them rotting. And apparently in order to be a real rotting girl, you have to have a cat or an animal of some kind snuggled up next to you during that entire experience in your bed. So I think I qualify. For sure, I qualify. And then it's something else I wrote about, and it's pretty funny because my friends all knew who I was talking about. But my friend's teenage son, they stayed with me for a couple days. And I'm not generally around boys, teenage boys a lot. So I learned a lot of things. I definitely did. Boys are dirty, just dirty. Boys and men, they're just dirty. They don't like, man, they're dirty. And my friends, I will have friends who will jump in here and say they have girls, teenage girls who are also dirty. They just don't pick up things. It's fine. I remember I was probably terrible. I think I had like a chair in my bedroom that never, I don't even remember what it looked like because it always just had piles of clothes on it. I'm now completely opposite and I'm so anal and I have everything away in its place immediately. But I survived the mess, like messy boys. But what really nearly threw me into a spiral was this boy asking for his Lucky Charms. I asked him what he wanted ahead of time to have in my pantry, and Lucky Charms was it. And so I started to get milk and I was going to offer him various milks, oat milk, almond milk, cow's milk. And he said, no milk. I don't eat my milk with cereal. And then proceeded to eat the Lucky Charms in a bowl with a spoon, but there was no liquid. And I was like, well, that's weird. And then his dad's like, no, that's what like they do now. And I went and did a little research. I went and looked a little bit on the internet, and it's like a thing. People don't eat their cereal with milk. I'm not saying this is like the trend, but it is a trend. It is a trend. So that was really wild to me and a surprise. Lastly, I will close up. I talked about content and I talked about the show Three Body Problem. Everyone's talking about on Netflix, sci-fi stuff, like all this quantum physics, all this. I'm excited. I just started watching episode one and I'm sort of into it and I will report back. But I do have some unfortunate news, and that is I was really excited to watch Palm Royale on Apple. Apple TV Plus. It has Kristen Wiig. It has Laura Dern. It has, I mean, a cast of casts. And it's set in Palm Beach in the 60s. Just imagine the Lily Pulitzer. I mean, Carol Burnett is in this, for the love of God. And guys, it is so awful. I mean, just watch it. Just do me the favor. Come back to me and tell me. Give it two episodes. There is a gentleman in this show that I have known in my past. And I root for all of them. I love this genre. I love the cast. I love the colors. I like bright colors. I love Florida stuff. And unfortunately, we have a very disappointing, a very, very disappointing show. But if you guys have gone past two episodes and have a different viewpoint, let me know. So that is it, my darlings. I want to do my little make out, marry, and mute. And it's a tough one because, like, it's all bad news right now. So I want to make out with Taylor and Travis. And it's just because they just seem so regular. They, if you guys missed it, these paparazzi photos came out of them after they had already returned from their holiday in Harbor Island. And I happen to know they were in Harbor Island before that news broke because a friend of mine had been in Harbor Island and she was like, oh my God, they're here. Or they were in Harbor Island when she was in Harbor Island. And Harbor Island, if you guys don't know, is amazing. It is one of my favorite places. I haven't been in a really long time. I used to go with my mom. It's really beautiful in the Bahamas and it's perfection. And it's, you know, fitting that they went there. It's not like too off the beaten path. It's not, I mean, they could have gone super remote. I don't, you know, it's remote, but it's not that remote. But they're the thing that's so funny is that there are photos of them sort of just like us. Like Taylor is picking her wedgie, like as the paparazzi shot gets her picking her wedgie out of the water. And then they're like on the sand with like a cheap beach chair and their towels that are normal beach towels. And it's just, it's not what you imagine when you think of like the most famous people in the world and one of the richest people. And she is like a beach towel, it looks like that got bought at the local place that smells like fudge and coconut oil. And it feels like really flimsy. And then she had one of those cheap chairs that is like the metal and canvas ones. Like it's just, I expected, you know, elite sort of situation and beds and all of that. And it's part of her charm. It's part of her, like, I'm just like you guys. I'm just like us. So whatever. Granted, she had like eight security team around her and like she flung her towel to one of them as she's getting into the water. But nevertheless, like the imagery is great. I loved it. I'd like to make out with them. I don't know if this is going to help me get a date anytime soon with a dude, but I'd like to marry Kristen Stewart because I just love everything she's doing right now. For some reason, Kanye's naked wife, I can't handle. I don't like it. I don't like what she's standing for, because we don't know what she's standing for. I don't like it. But Kristen Stewart is doing it in a different way. And she's dressing naked in so many of these sort of photo shoots and fashion shows. She's sort of wearing no clothing too. But it hits different. It hits different. It first of all, it's fashion in a different way than Kanye's naked wife is. And secondly, it seems to have a purpose. There's like a purpose to it. So that's what I would like to say. I'd like to marry her in her fashion and just like be in the cool girl crowd. And then I'd like to mute all the conspiracy theories that are going to come out on P. Diddy. I just like, let's wait and see what we got, but it's going to get good. But I just don't want to hear all of the, I think it's this, it's this, it's this, it's this. Like I'm muting that. I want to wait and see, like, let's get the goods. All right, guys. Well, hopefully I'll make it back and we'll be able to join you next week. And until then, have an amazing, amazing week. Bye. Popcorn.